Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. A message this morning of introspection to in each one of us. May the Lord help us. The choir sang a song here about our love for the Lord. And that's what we want to take a look at this morning, our love for Jesus. In Luke chapter 7, we have here in verses 36 through 50 about this account of the woman that came during a time that Jesus was invited to a fellow's house, a Pharisee named Simon. And Simon gave lip service to the Lord in inviting him. He refers to him as master, and so he acknowledges him to be a teacher. But the manifestation of his care for the Lord Jesus Christ is not so much love and reverence as it is disdain. He does invite him to eat, but he didn't provide any of the normal cultural things for the Jews that they would do and the things that they hold to and believe. But there's this woman, and she's there, and she comes, and begins to weep over the Lord Jesus at his feet. And it says in verse 38 of chapter 7, she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And ladies, you imagine that. I mean, to the road filth of the day, what would be there between his toes and on the top of his foot, on the bottom of his foot, it would really be dirty and a mess, had the potential to be. This woman didn't care about how that affected her. He said, the scripture says here that she cried so much that she could wash his feet and then dried them with the hairs of her head. She kissed his feet. And how we are about feet, we don't really want to touch anybody's feet, much less kiss them. But she kissed the Lord's feet after she washed them and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And then she took, and no doubt from other accounts that we have in the scriptures, she took an ointment that was very costly. We gather that from other passages and that. And she took and anointed the Lord's feet at that great, we believe, from what we can know, a great expense to her. She wasn't looking to make a show. She just had affection for the Lord that she could not contain, and she wanted to display there. And I wonder about the situation with that woman, how she gained access, how she was allowed to come in. Just little details and things that we think about as we consider the scriptures. And, of course, the Pharisee that invited the Lord Jesus there, he had a quarrel with the Lord because it was known that this woman, she was a sinner. And if the Lord indeed was a prophet, he would know what kind of manner the woman was, and he wouldn't allow her to touch him at all. The Lord speaks about debtors and they're owing a creditor, and the Lord just poses it simply, who would love the most? Well, the one that was forgiven the most. And in verse number 47, we come to the conclusion of this account. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which were many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Our love for Jesus. Our love for Jesus. Understand, if this man had been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, he was just as forgiven as she was, because it's a matter of perspective. That woman indeed was saved. And we just take it from the standpoint of this man being a Pharisee, and he's of the Jews, and he counts himself to be very stellar before the Lord in the way of the Pharisees and such. He might even think himself to be a blessing to God. But this woman, knowing her sins and knowing her condition and knowing and understanding who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he does for sinners, the love that she had for him was great, and it was manifested to be great because she knew her sins had been forgiven. But any person that has their sins forgiven have had a great, an enormous amount of sins forgiven. The perspective of this man is wrong. If he was saved, because he had been forgiven just as much as she, but he thought that it wasn't that bad. He wasn't that bad of a guy. And so it's a matter of perspective. How much have you and I been forgiven? If we're here and saved, how much have we been forgiven? Our love for Jesus. We see in John chapter 15, I trust a familiar passage to you. We'll read it again in John 15, verse number 13 and 14. Jesus says unto his disciples and to us, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if I do whatsoever I command you. And we know that the Lord Jesus laid down his life unto death for us. The greatest exhibition of love, manifestation of love that there has ever been known is that the Son of God becoming a man for the sake of laying down his life for his people. The Lord Jesus, he makes mention of this aspect regarding his love for his people and for his disciples in Matthew chapter 12. And it's not just a thing of lip service, but in Matthew chapter 12, in the day of his ministry, this took place in verse number 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And one said unto him, behold thy mother and thy brethren stand without, and desiring to speak with thee. And he answered, Jesus answered and said and told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. He claims them. He claims us. He loves us, and as John writes, he loved his disciples unto the end. To the end of his life, to death, is how much the Lord Jesus loves us. I pray that that's not boring to you, to any of us. I pray that that's not, doesn't become a point of inconvenience where the showing and the telling forth of the love of the Lord unto us would urge us and press us in a way that we wouldn't want to go. Jesus says plainly in John chapter 14, verse number 15, in regards to our love one for another, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you know what he said? What the brother John in his epistle in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 20 said, if a man say, I love God and loveth and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You know, let us understand this thing of us being saved and put in one of the Lord's churches is a very, very great and wonderful thing. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. His body here in Logan County, Kentucky. If you're saved and a member of this church, you are a part of this body. And the thing is, to not have to do with this body that the Lord has saved you and put you in is to not love your Lord well. Think about it. He's called us here. He's put us here. And if we don't love our brethren, we don't love our Lord. We need to love one another. And it's only accusatory if it fits the bill for you. But understand that it's all connected together. We are the body of our Lord Jesus. And we need to love our Lord Jesus by loving one another. But if there's always something else, if there's always something else to go and pursue or something else to go and do, if there's something else that's in the way, something else to where Let us not take the things in the work of the church and wedge them in with the rest of life, but Lord, help us in our priority, that we get our priorities set correctly. Because having this blessing of being put in the Lord's church, we are His body, and we need to love one another, and in doing so, we show that we love Him. If we love Him, we need to love one another. He commands us straightly about that. He commands us straightly about it. And the reason that one reason for preaching this message is that you and I live in a perilous time. There is a great warning at hand that we'll touch on and see. So the Lord Jesus, He tells about His love for us and how, to what extent He does love us. And then He gives us this instruction about our love one for another. In John chapter 13, let's read more about that. John chapter 13, the Gospel of John chapter 13. You know, our work in the church and our ministry and our taking a part and drawing near, it doesn't need to be an afterthought. It needs to be a point that's very central to our lives. How is it, this calling of the Lord, how is it with each one of us? See, only you can answer the question. You and the Lord can answer the question. How is our connection and our work and our pursuit in the Lord's church? How is that relative to what the Lord has called us into? Is it an afterthought? Is it something that we wedge and squeeze in? Or is it something that's very central to our lives? It manifests about our love for our Lord and the understanding of the importance of it, of His calling upon us. In John chapter 13, verse number 34, He's there with His disciples. He's there with His first church. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." So the way Jesus has loved us is the way that we're to love one another. That's the seriousness of it. And for those that we love, we'll have a desire towards, we'll want to come near unto, we'll want to be involved with. This is His body on this earth with the assignment to do the work that He has given. And if we don't avail ourselves to it in this time that we have in obedience, do we really love the Lord? You know, someone doesn't become a member of one of the Lord's churches because of convenience. It's going to take some effort. It's going to have a cost. It's going to maybe even be precarious or dangerous. But if the Lord has called us to this, and it's His command if He has, then what is it that we manifest about our love for Jesus in regards to our love, and with respect to our love one for another? He said that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A double emphasis there. He says, by this, by the showing forth of this love, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A third time of emphasizing that. But if we don't have that, if we don't manifest that, if we aren't involved with that, what is that saying to our Lord Jesus? That's what I want us to get a hold of, is If we say we are, and we are a part, and we have conviction that we've been added, but then we don't draw near, are not involved, are not availing ourselves to what the Lord has given, not involved with the pursuit of the church and what the church has decided to do, what the pastor may be leading in, and the church is in agreement with, what's that say about our love for our Lord if we don't engage? I mean, it's just a practical thing. We have this aspect also that we need And we, the nearer we get to one another, the more opportunity there is for fault and offense. It's just the way that it is. In Matthew chapter 6, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells this. And again, we've got Jesus here, who is our Savior and has shed this great love upon us and has rescued us. He's also shown us and put us in His church. And we have this relationship with the church that He's put us in. And do we draw near? You know, Jesus is always near to the church, right? Is Jesus ever far away? The only reason Jesus is on the outside knocking to get into the church is because the fellowship's been broken. That's what the Scriptures tell us. But Jesus is always in every service. Jesus is in the middle of everything that we would do. That's for His honor and for His glory, the furtherance of His kingdom, the fulfilling of the Great Commission, the maintaining of things and the operation of the church. And so as we draw nearer in that, you know, this is one thing that the world is just full of madness in our day, and vengeful and hatred and unforgiving spirit and all those kind of things. You know, that can leech over, that can come over and creep in on us. Listen to what the Lord warns us about in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, we're to be a forgiving people. We're going to need to be a forgiving people if we're going to be near one to another, because it's just that way that sometimes people rub edges raw. But we've got Jesus who's shown this great love for us in saving us, and then showed us and given us this blessing of putting us in His church. And then if we would be found being unforgiving, the Lord tells us we won't have forgiveness ourselves. And how's our love manifested for our Lord in that? We're found outside. We're found away from the love of our Lord. Our Lord's forgiven us everything. And here's the thing, as our brothers and sisters in Christ and all of mankind made in the image and likeness of God, if I'm unforgiving to them, I'm indeed sinning against God, because I'm not forgiving. Remember, the Lord is continuously long-suffering. Always long-suffering. And we'll be known to be the children of God by the forgiving spirit that we have. Not grudge keepers and grudge holders. It can be. We can be found right here in the midst of the church and holding grudges and an unforgiving spirit. And what does that show about our love for Jesus? In Matthew chapter 18, the Lord says it again, verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. From the heart, not just the show, but from the heart. And listen to this in Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Do you pray? Do I pray? Do we speak to the Lord and bring our petition, our thanksgiving unto Him? Do we seek His face and for leadership and such? Listen to what He says in Mark 11, 25 and 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive. So every time we pray, we're to be forgiving. But when I pray to my Lord who loves me and I'm not forgiving, then what does that show about my love for my Jesus? I'm seeking another way, aren't I? Because He's forgiven us greatly. An example that we have in the Scripture is this, and how our Lord deals with Brother Peter. Our Lord's love for Peter and Peter's love for Jesus. The Lord tells Peter, in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 34, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Before the rooster crows today, in the morning, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me three times. Peter has said, far be it from you to go to die. He said, I'll go with you. If everybody else forsakes you, I'll go with you and I'll die with you. That's what Peter has said. You know, he's speaking about his care and his love for the Lord. But because the Lord is going to suffer these things alone, and the Lord knows all things, the beginning from the end, he tells Brother Peter, he tells him, he said, before the day dawns, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. Peter had said, though all be offended, I won't be offended. I'll love you. This is the one that said back earlier in the ministry of the Lord, he said, to whom shall we go? I mean, he loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. Said, you're the only one that has the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that you've been sent here by the Father. You are the Christ. So that's this man. We go, we fast forward from that time there in the upper room to John chapter 18, where there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord had told them there as they were on their way, he said, you know, if you've got a cloak, sell it and get you a sword. That's for protection. It's not for the insurrection. They're thinking the revolt and insurrection. And so they've got those. So we've got two swords here. The Lord said, that's enough. That's enough for protection. They end up in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas is coming with his crowd. And it tells us in John 18, verse number 10 and 11, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, and the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And what that does, that Peter's ready to go with the revolt, with the insurrection. So I'm going to do the warning shot. Here's your ear. The Lord says, put it up. And we know from the scriptures, he heals that. Peter says, I'm not going to deny the Lord. I'm not going to deny the Lord. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. I'm going to defend the Lord. And he's there and he makes the first swipe. But you know what it says in Matthew 26, verse number 56? When the Lord said those things, and Peter couldn't advance with the fighting that he wanted to do, it says there in the latter part of verse 56 of Matthew 26, then all the disciples forsook him and fled, and that included Peter. Didn't stay. When Judas and all that crowd, a band of soldiers and everything, they're carrying all that hardware, Jesus says, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, I am he, and they fall back, and they get back up, and then he asks them again. All the disciples left. Peter had made a great commitment. He would go to death with the Lord Jesus. His love and his care for the Lord Jesus was the greatest, but he fled too. He fled too. And Mark writes in chapter 14, verse 50, and they forsook him and fled, and they all forsook him and fled. A fulfillment of Scripture in the book of Zechariah. In Luke chapter 22, we see this account with Brother Peter. In verse number 54, we read this, as they took Jesus away, take him to the father-in-law of the high priest and then to the high priest's house and now to the Sanhedrin. And Peter and the disciples, John, they're getting closer. They're following along. John is more bold than Peter. He goes right down there in the midst of the Sanhedrin as they're having their mock trial. We pick it up here in Luke 22, verse number 54, and they took him, Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. He had just said hours ago, I love you so much, I will go with you to the death, no matter what anybody else does. His love for the Lord in action is waning, isn't it? When the pressure comes on, when the threat is at hand, in about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." In the midst of this, he even curses. His love for the Lord Jesus put into action is unraveling, isn't it? It's unraveling. And immediately while he yet spake, verse 59, in about the space of 1 hour, so the third time, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And I pray, if our love, or as our love, would wax cold, our love for the Lord would not be found to not be what it should be, that we would see the Lord looking at us and be convicted of that and helped by that. Because you know what? The Lord's love for Peter is never changing. The Lord's love for us is never changing. Never. Never. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. If in fact our love for our Lord has waxed cold, you know, we find it so in our day that we don't weep over sin. We don't weep over sin. We don't admit sin. We don't fear sin. I'll tell you what, sin will cause our love for our Lord to wax cold. He went out and wept bitterly. We come to John chapter 21. Here the Lord Jesus has appeared unto the disciples twice on the first day of the week. That's the reason we're meeting together today to worship our Lord. He's told them early on at his resurrection, he told the women, he told others to remind the brethren to go into Galilee. So he appears unto them. This is the third time that he appears unto them, and they're up in Galilee. And we read this in John chapter 21, verse number 1. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. He said, Do you have anything to eat? What do we see about the love for the Lord, of the Lord Jesus to us, to them? It's steady and steadfast, isn't it? Never waning, never wavering. Know this, the Lord Jesus does not give up on his own. He calls us in these things and these warnings and these threats. He calls us and he cares for us and he tells us the truth. Children, have you any meat? No, we don't. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it, the net, for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, John speaking of himself, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. They didn't know it was the Lord. It is the Lord. You know, when our love waxes cold, our love for Jesus is not as it should be, that's the start that we need. It is the Lord. It's Lord. He's not forgotten about us. He loves us, and His love for us is steadfast. It's everlasting and eternal. It's the example of the love that we ought to have for Him. It's an example of the love that we ought to have one for another. It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And the Lord makes a statement in this that's not the part of our message so much, but He makes a statement in this, is that He will provide for His own. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. He will provide with what He had on the fire already. Where did Jesus get His fish? He's got all that we need. And then He'll bless the fruit of our labors too, won't He? Bring what you've got. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And I wonder who counted them. You reckon it was Peter? Peter's a man that's concerned about stuff. And you know what? Stuff can get in the way of our love for the Lord. Stuff can get in the way. Busyness, responsibilities that may not be evil or wicked in and of themselves, but misplaced. We got to beware. Turmoil, controversy, the wickedness that abounds in the world, and cause our love to wax cold. Peter there, he's counting the fishes, I wonder, and there were 153 of them. For there were so many, and yet he was evaluating this, they all were, yet not was the net broken. We've never caught 153 fish in one net and not be tore up. But that's the Lord. Jesus saith unto him, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. The Lord's wants and His design and desires for fellowship with Him. When our Lord, love for our Lord waxed cold, it's not as it should be. Our fellowship with Him is going to wane too. And you know what? In that, we're going to be subject to things that we should not be involved with. Thinking that we should not be thinking. Doing that we should not be doing. Attitudes that we have that we should not be having. We get away from the Lord and our love for Him diminishes. We're going the direction that we don't need to go. And Jesus, when Jesus then cometh, verse 13, and taketh bread and giveth them fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples. After that, He was risen from the dead. So now when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, and He did so publicly. You know, in your home and in your family, just about everybody in your household knows everybody else's business. That's the way it is with the family. That's the way it is with the Lord. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have privacy and such as that, but I'm just saying that's the way that it works in a church. We are a cut of the family of God, but called yet into another thing, His body. And the Lord deals with Peter, and He deals with him about this very thing of His love for the Lord. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And He uses one of those forms of agape love. Do you love me in dedication to me and singleness of heart to me, Peter? Do you love me more than these things of the world, fishing that you know about and being with your brethren and your friends and being in a place that's comfortable and familiar? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more, Peter, than your own way, your own thinking, the answer that you think you have for what's at hand? Do you love me more than these? Peter's answer is telling. He says, "Yea, Lord, thou know that I love thee. I'm really, really fond of you, Lord." He doesn't use the same language that the Lord uses that he should have. He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." And you know what? He's long-suffering. He's long-suffering with Peter, but he works with him to bring him back. "Feed my lambs. I've got a job for you to do." Every member of Olmsted Baptist Church has a job that the Lord has for us to do. And you can't do that. You and I cannot do that from a distance. We need to come near. We need to come near in every way. He saith unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" That love feast, that abundance of love. "Do you love me the way I love you, Peter?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I'm really, really fond of you. You're my real good friend, Lord." He said he would die with the Lord. But he found out he just did not have that in him. But the Lord doesn't quit him. That's what I rejoice in. The Lord didn't quit him. The Lord doesn't quit us. He tells us the truth, and he cares for us and brings us. He says to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest that I'm your good friend. I have affection for you, but not in the way that the Lord says." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, Jesus does, "Simon, son of Jonas, are you my good friend?" We don't like to hear the Lord decline, do we? The Lord joins Peter with what he said, and that troubles and grieves Peter. When we think about this and consider this, one thing that I can't help but think about is we don't want our Lord's love to wane for us, do we? No. We can justify it in our hearts and our minds that our love for the Lord can wane and decrease and get cold, but we sure don't want the Lord's love for us waxing cold, do we? We sure don't. Well, he has that same expectation of us. Our love should not do so. "Am I your good friend, Peter?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I have affection for you as a friend." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." It says Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time what Peter had been saying back to him. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Peter, you're gonna die for me, and you're going to be taken captive. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." Follow the Lord in love. Follow the Lord in his example. Follow the Lord as his son. And follow him as a member, and in Peter's case, as a leader in his church. Follow him. And follow him how? In an abundance, overwhelming manifestation of love to the Lord, to his brothers and sisters, and to the sinner that was out without Christ. Follow thou me. Even though Peter's love for Jesus failed in these occurrences, Jesus' love for him and for us never fails. Peter's love for Jesus was restored and strengthened in so much that he gave his life for Jesus' sake. See, this has been the command from the beginning. Let us know this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Brother Moses preaching to that second generation about to go into the land of Canaan. He declared unto them, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. From the inside out, love the Lord." Not just with the lips, but with the doing. With the living, with the point and purpose of life and every move and everything that we do, every decision we make, we're to love the Lord with everything. That's been the command from the beginning. And the Lord Jesus said it so in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. And Jesus answered him, this one that had asked him about the great or the first commandment. Jesus said, "The first of all the commandments is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. From the heart in fellowship and singleness upon the Lord to all the doing that we do." To love the Lord with that. That's all. He said, this is the first commandment. And Jesus makes this clear unto us, and the second is like, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So if we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, we're not manifesting the Lord's love as he would have us to do so, are we? When we take up our own thinking, our own way, or we hold on to vengeance or we hold a grudge, or we separate ourselves from the Lord's people. Do you want to be around the Lord's people, or you want to get away from the Lord's people? How is it with you? How is it with me? Do we want to get near the Lord's people, or we want to get away from the Lord's people? How is it with us? It's a manifestation. How is it? Do we want to get near the Lord and fellowship with him, or do we just want to get away from the Lord? How is that? Our love for Jesus. How is it? What is it? There's strong words regarding loving Jesus to a church in the city of Ephesus, there in Asia Minor. Our Lord Jesus Christ warned that church and said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." It can happen to a church. It can happen to a church. And he warned them. He said, "You've left your first love." And who is that church's first love? It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They had order correctly. They had doctrine lined up. They had this. But they had left their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, they, as well as we, have this warning in the Scriptures in Matthew 24, verse number 12. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Iniquity that might abound in our own lives. Iniquity that would abound in the world and round about us. Iniquity that would abound in our own families. It can cause our love to wax cold. We have a warning. That's the reason there needs to be a message preached in this regard. That we not succumb to our love growing cold for the Lord, and we getting far from the Lord, and we going like Peter and chasing our own way. But we need to follow after what the Lord says and follow his example and love him. Brother Paul, he gives a great warning to another church in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 22. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus," that's not with your mouth. It's what's manifested from the heart to outside in your life. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, maranatha." Okay, what's that mean? Well, that word anathema means curse. And that word maranatha means judgment. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be cursed in judgment. That's strong. Because it's a serious, serious, serious thing. Luke 7:47, where we started. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which were many are forgiven, for she loved much. We need to love much because we've been forgiven. We've been forgiven so, so much. But to whom little is forgiven, again, it's a matter of perspective because there's no one forgiven that hasn't been forgiven much. We've all been forgiven much. But if our perspective is we've been forgiven little, then we're going to love little. May the Lord help us with our perspective. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus exhibited his love for sinners and that he gave it all. As the song says, he suffered it all because he loved me. He suffered all the things that he did. He became a man, came from the portals of glory and became a man that he might be a savior for sinners like you and me. No greater love has been exhibited than what the Lord Jesus Christ did in the day of his life on this earth and his ministry and his accomplishment of his gospel. If you're here and you're not saved, repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the Lord will help you. Whatever question you have, whatever trouble or thought, whatever fear you have, take that to the Lord. Take it to him just like you would ask me about it. I'll be glad to help you all I can. If I can't save you, I can show you in the scriptures what the Lord says. Take it to the Lord and believe and trust in him. And for we who are saved, may we repent of our love waxing cold. May we steer away from that. And because iniquity is abounding around us, may we not allow it to allow our love to wax cold. But may our love for the Lord Jesus be as it ought to be, and glorifying to him and rejoicing in him and being obedient to him in that. May the Lord help us together.